Welcome back to the Awake Nation with Penny L.A. Shepherd and David Zublik with you. And joining us now is Vinny Eastwood, first guest up on the program. Welcome, Vinny. How are you?
Man, I'm borderline and on fabulous. Other than that, like crap.
You are fabulous. Can you tell our audience who you are?
Well, it's a long-winded question potentially, but what you could say is that, for lack of a better comparison, I'm the Alex Jones of New Zealand back in 2008 when there was nobody out there going to protests and public meetings, filming them, interviewing the activists, editing those videos, putting them up on YouTube, doing a 5 day a week, 2 hour a day radio show on American radio. There was only one person in New Zealand for nearly 15 years doing that. And that's me, with 20,000 hours of broadcasted content, with the list of top names of the United States and international truth movement. I'm truly one in 5 million out of New Zealand here. And just recently, with Jacinda Ardern leaving Parliament during her reign, I found that I was not alone, and umpteen different people have just started their radio shows and their social media followings to expose the truth about what's going on in this little country we call New Zealand, which is a former British banking colony and was mentioned 60,000 times in the Panama paper money laundering leaks. There is a river of dirty money coming through this country and a lot of corruption, exactly the exact same kind of corruption and dirty money laundering that is happening in the United States and Canada and the UK, for we live in a new world order, and New Zealand is simply the test subject for it. So if it happens in New Zealand, it will soon be happening in your country. If it's happening in your country, it'll soon be happening in New Zealand. We either hang together or hang separate on this one.
Yes, we have an individual, his name is Mike Gill. You might want to interview Mike. Mike speaks on the Panama Papers and also speaks to the corruption. He ran for governor of New Hampshire, and he had he would buy like a racehorse for $3 million on the weekend. He had a 12,000 square foot home with a basketball court in it. Now he's living out of a suitcase, and he's been hiding. He says that the reason that Pence's plane turned around was because of him. He gave his information to feds, which it was withheld. And so he's speaking out about that. He might be somebody that you might want to interview. The only thing that I knew about New Zealand was Anne Hamilton Byrne resided there.
Don't even know who that is. So, you know, okay, so they say
she ran a cult called The Family.
Oh.
And like the Children of the Corn, that thing. So I didn't even know who she was until she died. But that's what we do, Vinny, is we research everything and we share information with one another. We enlighten one another for our own purposes of reveal. So who did you work with David Icke as well?
Yes, I did. I spoke at his conference, I believe, in 2012 when he came here to New Zealand. And last year I had him and Mark Passio on together for a nearly 2 hour broadcast, and that was absolutely spectacular. And more recently, though, I've had to deal with the deplatforming around you know, the pandemic and what have you. If you told the truth during the pandemic on many of these platforms, you will lose your livelihood. So and that really started around the Christchurch Mosque massacre in 2019. When you're telling the truth about that, you would start getting demonetized. And following the demonetization campaigns came the deplatforming campaign. So I think I lost $3,000 a month in revenue from my YouTube channel being demonetized, and $5,000 a month from in total, including my Patreon, being banned without even telling me that I'd been banned, let alone telling me why. And so it's been a massive struggle to try and make a living off of telling the truth anymore. And the public is so enamored with this new woke culture that it becomes terrifying, ostensibly, to behold at times, especially when you have things like the Posey Parker interview, and subsequently, as you see the gentleman behind me, myself and Billy TK's arrest for protesting the lockdowns, which have caused potentially a lot of harm in New Zealand, as they did around the world in the countries that did try them, with suicide, small businesses going under, rates of anxiety going up, children being permanently traumatized, so on and so forth. And because we protested it, we were arrested. When you're arrested, you're supposed to be held for maybe a couple of hours, 2 or 3 hours tops. And we were held for 28 hours. By the time I came out of it, I felt like I was being a prisoner in a Russian gulag, you know. I saw my wife and my daughter at the time and just went to her, "Baby, you haven't aged a day. You're still as beautiful and supple as the day the state took my freedom," you know. And this was a massive blow to people's perception of New Zealand internationally, because our bail conditions included that we were banned from the internet. Couldn't even check my bank accounts to pay rent or anything like that, you know. And that was under pain of like going to jail for up to 2 years and having a $4,000 fine on the spot. And that we had to go in and out of court like maybe 6 times at the cost of, I think, $14,000 at that time, just to get those bail conditions removed. We're now 2 years on from this nearly, and we've been found guilty of organizing a protest and attending a protest. The maximum sentence for this is 6 months prison. Billy TK, my friend who got arrested with me, got 5 months prison. And I got 4 months prison. And the reason why you're speaking to us right now is because we're out on appeal. Because in New Zealand, we have a thing called the Bill of Rights Act, which under various sections, you'd have a equivalent in the Constitution, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom to impart information in any kind, any form, that kind of thing. And these rights just seem to have just been immediately trampled just because the government says we're having a lockdown. Why are they having the lockdown? Because they detected a single case of the Delta variant, which recent media articles on mainstream media in New Zealand have said is just an ordinary flu. And the CDC has put out the statistics on this and have updated them in 2021, saying that you have a 99.97% chance of survival, basically, if you're a child up till the age of 70. And when you're 70, you only have a 97.9% chance of survival.
Oh, wow.
You see? So these are not the most dangerous things, as we were told at the time. But when we were being prosecuted, the police urged, and the judge listened, to ignore everything we know now and to prosecute and punish us based on what they thought at the time.
It seems to me that from everything we have been following here, that the two most draconian countries during the COVID crisis were New Zealand and Australia. Countries that we think of as being, democracies or republics similar to our own, and yet there have been really draconian policies imposed in your country for speaking out and protesting about this. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and you see in, for example, the United States, number of shootings, some of them allegedly staged, in order to get Americans to give up their guns. Now, right. In New Zealand, we had one shooting, and the government passed a gun ban 14 days later, and they took everybody's weapons, just like that. I remember I was speaking to a New Zealand infantryman, and the police turned up at his house at 2 o'clock in the morning to take his guns. And this is after he'd been out training for a week and carrying huge logs on his shoulders and stuff like that. And they didn't have a member of parliament to him. Now, when you take guns off of military people and you send the police, you actually have to, by law, have a member of parliament there to make sure that they are seen as actually being the correct authority, and so people don't get shot. But they didn't have that here. It was just a wham-bam, thank you, ma'am, across the country taking everybody's guns. And it was in such quick succession that it was just absolutely crazy. And then immediately afterwards, they armed the police. And the first story that came out where a policeman was using a firearm in the line of duty was when he shot himself in the ass sitting down at training. Ouch. And this gives you an idea to the kind of acumen and training that the New Zealand police have in way of firearms. And then, of course, as happens every time there's ever been a gun ban anywhere in the world, the murder rate and the shooting rate shot up immediately after taking all the law-abiding citizens' guns. And it didn't help that the New Zealand gangs had already infiltrated the arms records offices of the New Zealand police and now had a shopping list of people with guns that were illegal, that they were going to get rid of anyway. So New Zealand, I think, had, on average, between 0 and 1 gun shooting killings per year before the gun ban. And now we're hearing reports that there's as many as 10 to 15 shootings a week just in South Auckland alone, right? And this is an epidemic level of stuff. You know, people are busting into houses with machetes. They weren't doing that before because they knew before if they busted into somebody's house unannounced, they might get blasted in the face. But they now they know that the only people who are going to get blasted in the face is the law-abiding citizens who have been disarmed and don't have illegal firearms.
I always have to laugh at when you see a sign here in the United States in some school that says this is a gun-free zone or any kind of a business, you know, a restaurant or whatever, because that's an open invitation for somebody to come in, you know. And today with 3D printing, you can actually manufacture a gun. You can confiscate all the guns you want. Someone will just make one.
I mean, if you've got a gun-free zone, I mean, I see translations in my head all the time. You see them yourself when you see it media, you know, what they're really saying or whatever. But what they're really saying when you see gun-free zone is sitting ducks.
Yeah.
Right? That's it. Period. And New Zealand's disarmed us, and then immediately they've armed the police. Immediately there's more shootings. Then they start censoring. Now, this was what was very interesting about the Christchurch Mosque massacre is that we got censored in the middle of a live stream. I had Ole Damegaard, who'd been exposing false flags and even predicting these things, as you well know, for nearly 40 years, he says. And he has never been censored in the middle of a live stream. I'd been doing this job for 15 years. I'd never been censored in the middle of the live stream. Day one after the Christchurch Mosque massacre, that happened. So it means that they already had the algorithms in place. And the guy who committed this shooting was an Australian, not a New Zealander. He'd been reported to the police for his anti-Muslim rhetoric from his own gun club. The police had refused to investigate. After the attack, this guy pled not guilty, and the government launched a Royal Commission of Inquiry. On the first day of lockdowns in 2020, he suddenly changes his plea to guilty when the media aren't allowed to be in the courts to report on it because of lockdown, and then they put him in solitary confinement for the rest of his life at the cost of $40,000 to the New Zealand taxpayer, and the Royal Commission of Inquiry findings have been sealed for 30 years so that nobody else can know what happened on that day. Now, this is New Zealand, and I can assure you, there's nothing going on here, bro. You know, the official narrative is exactly what they say it is, man.
Well, and you know what's interesting is the reason the government takes your guns away is not to prevent you from protecting yourself from criminals. It's to prevent you from protecting yourself from a tyrannical government.
Well, I mean, I remember seeing a comic one time and says, Father, I want to get into organized crime. Father looks up from his paper and he goes, are you talking government or private?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. What actually happened with regard to you and your friend with regard to recently?
Okay.
Billy TK, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we'd been working together since the election in 2020, and at the time he started a party called the New Zealand Public Party, and they managed to go into coalition with a man named Jamie Lee Ross, who at the time was a sitting MP, the former chief whip of the National Party, the Republican equivalent of New
Okay.
Zealand. And they made a real go at Parliament from absolutely nowhere. Billy had a bigger social media following than Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister herself, in a year when there were lockdowns happening and she had unfettered access to the media for an hour a day, telling everybody they're keeping them safe. This guy had a bigger social media following. Now, there was so much sabotage by the media against the party, and to the point where they made documentaries about Billy, demonizing him and telling all sorts of lies and falsehoods about him. Kind of, if you would remember, Congressman Ron Paul, and
Yes.
a lot of the censorship and a lot of the mischaracterization and BS that he had to go through in the United States, Billy went through that here as kind of like our chief freedom figure. He was
Right.
saying that the Chinese had taken over our country, that basically our country is now a communist dictatorship under UN Agenda 21, that the lockdowns don't work, that all the medical treatments and things of that nature that are being passed around don't work. He was saying all sorts of these things at a time when the country was being locked down, and there was, I think the media has released 116 million dollars worth of government financing, and that's on the books financing. That doesn't include off the books financing, which can sometimes be up to 10 times as much, to push government COVID ads on television. Now, that's put that in perspective here. That's, I think, between $5 and $6 per every man, woman, and child in New Zealand. That would be the printing of maybe 100 pamphlets or something. But that's how
Right.
much money was sunk into the media. You could not find a radio station, you could not find a television channel, and you could not find a social media platform that wasn't absolutely plastered with this stuff. It was like nobody'd ever seen anything like it. And with the censorship of everybody who said anything different, including me losing 6,000 videos, 65,000 subscribers, my life's work ostensibly, during this great purge, it became deeply troubling for anybody trying to talk about freedom in New Zealand. And Billy TK was the one person they could vote for that could do anything about it. And just
Right.
before they could vote for him, 3 weeks before the election, the entire party Facebook page gets banned, along with every single person who had access to it from Facebook. Okay. Now, it turns out, and we only found this out last year, that the government in New Zealand, and I think many other governments as well, have backdoor access to these major social media platforms and can pick and choose and ban whom they want at
Right.
will. The very government, in a contested election, I contend, banned one of the leading competitors for the truth movement. Right. In fact, the only competitor for the truth movement, if we're really going to be being honest here. A number of other
Right.
parties in this country have been fighting for freedom for a significant period of time, but they never got more than 0.1% of the vote. Whereas Billy TK was like third preferred prime minister voted in a recent Colmar Brunton poll at the time, which is the official political polls of New Zealand. So there's this guy and me holding a protest against this lockdown, and so they had to take this opportunity to silence us. We'd even informed the police that we were going to be having the protest just to make sure everybody's kept safe and everything's above board, that kind of thing. I myself wasn't actually even threatened with arrest, and they have been I think, bleeding Billy dry at this point so badly. His bills are like over $20,000, maybe even $30,000at this point, with still more to go. And it's such a significant problem. And if people could go to change.org and have a look at the petition that we've put up there, I believe it's called Justice.
I'm going to put it up on the screen in a couple of minutes here for you. So people will go there.
And so that's what we're really asking for people to do, other than wonderful radio hosts like yourself, people who are representative of the freedom movement internationally. We're really calling on them to get us on their shows and help publicize this plight, specifically because what is happening here is really affecting everybody. And we're quite cognizant of that. If they can jail us for months for holding a peaceful protest, that basically means if they can get away with it, that this kind of treatment will be coming your way soon. So it is time to stand together and hold hands internationally. The kind of cooperation, not coercion, is what can really fight tyranny. So we're asking people to go to change.org and look up for Justice for Billy TK and Vinny Eastwood. Sign that petition and please make a donation to Billy or myself at vinnyeastwood.com. That's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. And if that's good enough, people can also watch the documentary we made, The Day Democracy Died, on vinnyeastwood.com, and just click on that big blue banner there. This is something that's quite important internationally as we're heading forward, and it is something that I think should really concern everybody, no matter what country you're in.
Are there still any COVID policies in effect in New Zealand right now? I mean, pretty much everything's kind of gone here now in the United States. We don't have any more mask mandates. They're still trying to push the vaccines, but there's no, they're not mandated, but what's going on in New Zealand with regard to those COVID policies?
For a large part, things have relaxed massively. There hasn't been a lockdown since we got arrested at lockdown, incidentally enough. I'd like to claim credit for that fact, but I don't have the evidence to suggest it. Now, the thing about it is, though, all medical staff, anybody, nurses, doctors, office and stuff, they all have to wear masks. Often people in public transport and taxis and things of that nature are wearing masks. A lot of people even walking around in the sun in the middle of summer wearing masks, even when there's no mandates in place, when they're walking by themselves, you know. It's so the level of this kind of thing. Do you guys get triggered when there's no mandate, there's no credible threat or anything, and you still see people wearing masks by themselves in their car, with the windows up?
I know we have that too. It's like there's a mass psychosis going on with people. I don't for the life.
It's an ultimate MK Ultra operation. So they've been mind controlled to believe that they can't actually survive without a mask when the mask impedes their breathing and will make them even sicker. I'm a musician, and I actually saw musician friends of mine on LinkedIn singing with a mask on, and I just said, please, you know, friends of mine drumming, like, you know, 45-minute sets drumming with masks on. I'm just like, oh my God, you guys, please just stop.
Yep. There's a lot of thought out there, and it's kind of a very dark way of looking at it, that a lot of these problems are going to sort themselves out because of the high attrition rate and mask wearers and things of that nature. But I digress. The real point that we really have to kind of become cognizant of is that we're basically under what I call multi-spectrumic dominance, all right? Full spectrum dominance is the military term. And so if you made a term, for example, mockingbird media in your intro before, and I was explaining to my partner, Rebecca, what that means is that back in the day, during the church subcommittee hearing, they managed to expose the fact that Operation Mockingbird was conducted by the CIA to recruit all the trusted names in US media so that they would plant their message in the minds of Americans, and that the head of the CIA had once been quoted as saying that when our disinformation campaign is complete, that's the CIA, everything the Americans believe will be the exact opposite of the truth. So when we're looking at how we understand anything we see, the real terrifying realization is that the bulk of things that we believe have been based on frauds since their inception. And I think we have to, as Yoda said, unlearn what we have learned.
Yes, I do have that Del Bigtree interview, if you'd like to play a little bit of it.
Have you got a selected section, have you?
Pardon?
Have you got a selected section of it for us to play?
No, I have the whole thing.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a long interview.
It is long, but is there any particular point that you'd like to play in it? I mean, I can play a little bit of it. You can say, hey, go forward, go backward.
Okay. Well, let's just start playing it there. And I think we have to look at Del Bigtree's intro for Billy. That takes a few minutes there. I think maybe skip to about the 9-minute point when he brings Billy in.
Yeah. Okay. Let me just bring it in and you just tell me where to go in it.
No worries. Okay.
So, shall I begin playing it and you just tell me stop, go forward, or whatever?
Right. I go ahead.
Okay. Here we go.
You know, as the sort of house of cards continues to fall on COVID, and I know, you know, obviously we're stretching out a lot of different conversations, but we keep coming back to this because whether or not we want to think this entire thing is in our rearview mirror, there is still an oppression. There's still some of the authoritative pressures are still attacking people that were involved there. But it's all leading. When you watch Califf, he isn't saying that a month or 2 months ago. He's saying right now what he wants to do is lock us down even harder, take more of our rights away, because the pharmaceutical industry that funds him, the Silicon Valley tech giants and AI, you know, lunatics that are funding him and funding our government want to make sure that we have no choice in these conversations. Well, in America, you know, I was having this conversation recently with some really good friends. We did have a constitution that held up. I mean, though, you know, we did see a mandated vaccine, our courts mostly ruled that that was unconstitutional. The masks on planes were unconstitutional. And you didn't really see anyone getting their door kicked in. And I don't know that many people that were arrested for speaking their mind. But in other nations that we used to believe as, you know, free and sweet and beautiful nations, they didn't fare so well. I'm thinking about Australia and New Zealand and Canada. Well, this next story comes out of New Zealand. Imagine if you were a freedom fighter, just like Del Bigtree, who stood on the Capitol steps of Mississippi fighting this issue, you know, year after year with all of these, you know, mothers and you know, a few fathers trying to get back your own rights and maintain that sort of connection you have to your own body autonomy. That's all that was happening here, but there's been documentaries about him. They're attacking him, and now he's facing jail time. I'm talking about Billy Tahika. And this is just a short piece of a documentary. It gives you a sense of how the media wants to portray his story.
So this is 12th of September, 2020.
The second nominee that is Billy Tahika Jr., leader of the New Zealand Public Party, co-leader with Jamie Lee Ross of Advance New Zealand. Preaching to his followers.
I am an ordinary Māori Kiwi New Zealander, and I woke up to it very early on that something did not smell right.
To support his key political plan, that the government does not tell the truth, he does.
We know we are thinking logically. What we said early on, that the media claimed I was a conspiracy theorist, now mainstream.
What he says stems directly from QAnon, the unfounded conspiracy theory that began in the U.S.
Okay, that's pretty much that's pretty much a lie. And what we try to do here is we try to disseminate the truth from the lies. But this is not a conspiracy theory. It is conspiratorial facts. I will continue.
Well, let's pause there for a moment, because what happens is we'll have these protests and people will turn up with a Trump flag, or people will turn up with a QAnon T-shirt, and they're not associated with Billy. They're just at the protest or something. And the media will then take a picture of that person and then say that the entire protest is about this. And it never was. It was never about Trump. It was never about Q or any of this other kind of stuff. We were all about freedom, New Zealand's freedom from tyranny that was coming down on all of us through the airwaves and on the streets. And that's the thing about Billy, is that he was standing up to it in such a way, getting thousands of people to come out protesting and getting a huge traction in the media, that they had to make documentaries to make him appear crazy, to malign him, to edit his speech and things of that nature. And at the end of this documentary, they have a section where he is basically having his faith questioned, and he decides to leave the interview. And in the blogosphere here in New Zealand, we've got people like Byron Clark and Mark Dolder. These people are basically, what would you say, propagandists, intelligence assets, or mockingbird media, if you will, who have had basically no shortage of things to say about Billy and anybody who espouses similar things that he does. And of course, our treatment by the media and that kind of thing is basically true testament to what happens when you put your head up. In New Zealand, we've got a mentality called tall poppy syndrome, where if somebody puts their head out a bunch the rest, they're the poppy that gets cut off first. So yeah, it's a very difficult situation to be in at the moment. We do need a lot of international support.
How did you two meet? Because you say that you're also a musician, and our audience isn't acquainted with Billy, but Billy is also a blues musician and guitarist who comes from a family of musicians, very successful musicians. Says he's a businessman and former political candidate. This is in his wiki, and says during the 2020 New Zealand general election, he attracted media coverage both as a leader of the fringe New Zealand Public Party and for his promulgation of conspiracy theories. I don't even use that word theories, because there was a meme that went out there that said, I need new conspiracy theories because all my old ones came true.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's a funny old world, isn't it? And yeah, when we did that election, like, I got called, and the previous election to that, I'd worked for the Legalized Cannabis Party, and they called me basically at the last minute. I had 3 weeks to plan an election campaign coverage for them. And with that and a budget of $2,000, I managed to get 114,000 people to look at their Facebook page and made 60 videos. The previous performance of the entire web page since the party was started in 1996 was 3 videos and on average 3,000 hits. So I put a lot of effort in there and made a significant difference where I could for the Legalized Cannabis Party of New Zealand. And after that, the Billy TK, and looking around, under New Zealand law, you can just change the name of a party. You can change it any way you want, any day of the week, and then just change it back again. There's no restrictions on that. And it's very difficult, however, to get a party established, because you need 500 people who have paid money, who are on a voting roll, and so on and so forth. And just checking up on 500 people can actually be a mammoth effort. And so many people who try to start parties don't actually eventually succeed. And so Billy was getting calls round to every single little minor party including the Cannabis Party, to try and find out what was actually happening, and could they potentially change their name of their party to New Zealand Public Party and have Billy be the head of it just for an election, and then they can go back to running business as usual if we don't win, sort of thing. And not a single party in New Zealand, including the legalized Cannabis Party, would do that. And even though he had the social media following, even though he was speaking the truth about all sorts of issues, nobody really wanted to get behind him except Jamie Lee Ross. And myself, who having nobody really to work for that election, I was kind of like going, okay, let's do this. And I interviewed as many of their candidates as they had. They had more candidates than I think pretty much any other party of their size at the time. They had a donors list of, like, I think it's 70,000 donors. Like 70,000 donors. That was amazing, the amount of pull Billy had. And then when they arrested us and collapsed the parties out from under us after the election, this is quite extraordinary, because we basically just got shut down. You know, we became so good at getting the public's attention and getting the truth to light that they had to snuff us out. And what they couldn't do digitally, they did physically when we were subsequently arrested.
Wow. Where do things stand with you and Billy right now? Obviously, is he out on bail right now too?
Yeah, we're both on bail at the moment, pending our appeal, which is on the 31st of July of this year, which would make it 23 months and 2 weeks since our initial arrest before we're actually getting to appeal it. And the judge itself, like, I think right after we were sentenced, there was a big shock in the courtroom, because there were people who are murdering in New Zealand, real murderers, who have been given home detention. And then there's two freedom-fighting activists who have a very peaceful protest with less than 100 people there, and they get 3 and 4 months prison, respectively. They put down our sentences from 5 and 4 months, respectively, 4 for me, 5 for Billy, by a month each, because of the stack of character references that we had, and also the 6 weeks of bail conditions that we had as well, where we weren't allowed to leave our properties, we weren't allowed to have a mobile capable device, and of course, as I said, banned from accessing the internet. And we had bail checks, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, just shining a light in your face just to make sure that you're home, midnight, 11 p.m., 7 a.m., didn't matter, just all the time while you had a 1-year-old trying to sleep. That was crazy. Sorry, go ahead.
They don't use tethers?
I don't know exactly what that is, but
like an ankle bracelet that they put on you, which enables to monitor whether or not you have left your home.
No, only when you're actually sentenced to home detention do they do that.
Okay.
And so that's basically what we're appealing at the moment, is the sentence and the conviction itself. So hopefully with enough public pressure and attention on this really landmark case, because I think it's the first case that I've seen in my years of an activist that actually proves whether or not your country has any freedoms left, or if the government can just, we passed a law at 4 o'clock in the morning, you don't got no freedoms no more. Well, why not? Well, right. Because we say you don't.
Right.
Now, is this a jury trial or just before a magistrate?
Don't have that information just as yet, but we will see as time moves on. But the important thing to basically just remember is that it's going to be on the 31st of July, and we'd like a lot of people to turn out there and show how much support there is for us, and how much support there is for freedom generally.
Now, you had mentioned that last night that you were thinking about bringing Billy on, but that maybe you might have some compunctions about the Saturday, which is Sabbath.
Yeah, Billy is a deeply religious man, and he often likes to take the Sabbath off if he can.
We can arrange another day.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely, and I hope we do reasonably soon. So yeah, I texted Billy and talked to him, and it's all good. He probably wasn't able to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning at the moment, like right. I am. I'm normally a bit more.
Did you even go to bed last night, Vinny?
Oh yeah, you know I'm an old man. You know, I'm 38. I go to bed at like 7 o'clock, man.
Yeah, I got like 5 hours sleep last night.
He's 38. Actually, four. He's half our ages, Penny, and he's going to bed at 7 o'clock.
Hey, I retired when I was 24, man.
Wow.
I went to sleep at 1:30 and got up at 5.
Oh, darling, you know that is
I'm
when coffee.
I'm 65, Vinny. I'll be 65 this year. David will be 66. His birthday's right before mine.
Oh, you young whippersnappers, you.
Yes.
You're going to be on our show when we're 120, okay? It'll be a new world then, and y'all will be, you know, probably have a buku albums up the yin or yang. I was looking at Billy's father's, you know, basically all the people that he's played with. And then Billy, so he's a second generation musician, and you know, and are you a second generation musician as well?
Well, my dad played the banjo, so I guess, and
hey, Steve Martin plays the banjo.
Well, that's how he got my mum. Actually, mum was real beautiful, and she walks into this house party, and dad goes to his mate, hey, who's that? You know, and he goes, oh, that's Sylvie, and he goes, all right, the next song's here for Sylvie, you know, and he plays the song, and they were together for I think 25 odd years,
wow,
and had five kids, and my dad was an orator and a business salesman. I think when he died, he'd created a forklift tire company that had created, I think, maybe over 400 different types of forklift tires that Dad designed himself. Wow. And he had, I think, 96% market share on the sale of distribution of forklift tires in the Southern Hemisphere around about the time that he died. This was a big blow to a lot of people. And the thing about my mum, you know, my mum's sort of like a bit clairvoyant at times, and very, very kind of like sensitive to things. And she's a poet and a nurse, and so I've sort
wow.
of, and so I've kind of incorporated and an artist, not to mention. So I've incorporated a lot of these different things. And if you'll permit me, I'm just going to like pop a little link into the chat room here. If you want to play us the first 90 seconds of this music video, so that on your 120th birthday, we can have a little soiree for you.
You going to play that, David?
Yeah. I'm going to. I will do that right now. Give me one. Let me take down the temporarily, if I could.
Many years ago, myself and my friend Mikhail Pierce, I think he was like 65 or it might have been late 50s or something. It was like over 10 years ago. And you know, when you get a certain age, you start worrying about your age. Like, you don't worry about your age until you get a certain age, right? And this year, this birthday, was the time that he was starting to feel that certain age. And so, you know, we had a little party, just he and I, and we had a little jam. And this is what came out of my mouth.
All right, one second here, and I'm going to put this right up on the screen so that people can see it. Right here, all right.
Those ads on YouTube are bloody awesome. Got to click that skip the ads.
There we go.
Peace comes from
I was waiting for like an Adam Sandler finish or something.
Yeah. You pause that now.
You want to play the rest of it?
That's okay.
Something's breaking.
I didn't play it again, Vinny.
No, this, the whole song's like 5 minutes long.
It's beautiful.
I was just waiting for the Adam Sandler, wedding singer thing. I was also a wedding singer, so.
Oh, well, we have one like that. And if you want to see more, ladies and gentlemen, just go to VinnieEastwood.com and click on the Vinnie and the Vendettas music tab, and you can watch all that full video and listen to some more of my songs.
When can they see your show?
9 a.m. New Zealand Standard Time on Mondays, making it 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Sundays on republicbroadcasting.org, and it is live streamed, trimalcasted really, I think this is a technical term, through Facebook, Twitch and YouTube. And generally the YouTube and the Facebook versions are deleted immediately because we mentioned things that will get you banned.
Are you allowed to do this while you're on appeal?
Oh, yeah. In fact, we had to go and get our bail condition removed so that we could. Yeah, just recently after we got convicted, we have a bail condition saying that we're not allowed to talk about our appeal on social media, on the internet. And that was just like, people were like, what? I mean, people were shocked at the sentence that we got, and then the bail condition, like a blatant violation of free speech. And so we went to the High Court, and it was like, we didn't even have to go because the judge was just like, okay, yeah. And the police didn't even contest that bail condition being removed because it was so flagrantly in violation of Article 14 of the Bill of Rights Act governing free speech.
And that's why I asked whether this is going to be a jury trial, because if you're going to have a trial in front of your peers, I have a funny feeling you'll get acquitted. If it's in front of a magistrate or a judge, who knows what they're going to do, right?
Yeah. I mean, I recall in New Zealand, I was listening to News Talk ZB, probably the biggest talk radio station in the country, and somebody called up and the subject was about jury trials. And he was talking about this one time that he was a juror. And they had a murderer who was very clearly a murderer. They had all the evidence, DNA, video footage, witness testimony, fingerprints, the whole nine yards. And one of the jurors refused to convict him. And they all had to be unanimous in their decision in order for a decision to go through. And they asked him, like, why? There's no evidence that he's innocent. And they said, no, he's wearing a yellow tie. All right, and that means that he didn't do it, okay? Yep. When you get jurors, you pick at random from the population, okay? Now, as George Carlin said, imagine how stupid the average person is, and then imagine that half the population is even dumber than that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I hear you. I do. And of course, we support you and we support Nick. And we, if there's anything else that, you know, we can do, obviously, we want to keep us posted on this. We want to have you back.
Yes, I sent you our hours again. So talk to TK about some good days.
Awesome.
And we'll bring you back a bunch of times because it's a story that's not, that should not go away and needs to be told.
It does indeed. And everybody's really riding on the line here. And because of the lack of support from the New Zealand Truth Movement, you know, to be honest, is very few people in New Zealand have brought us on their shows. There's a lot of rivalry and things like that. Whereas when other protesters and people like us have been arrested, we've immediately come to their aid. But what's really great about this world, and especially the reputation that I've built up internationally over the years, is that, you know, that old saying that your enemies can't betray you. Only your friends can do that.
Right.
I'm very grateful that you guys are doing what you're doing, especially with the extreme quality in which you do it. I mean, just talking with Penny on the messenger and stuff like that, I get a real sense of thoroughness and conscientiousness. And I think that everybody who listens to you is a very lucky viewer indeed.
She's the best. I couldn't do this without Penny. She's the heart and soul of the show. So we'll have you back, and we'll continue this fight with you. So thank you for coming
thank
on
the
program.
Thank you so very much, Vinny.
Thank you, guys. My pleasure.
God bless you. Vinny Eastwood here on the Awake Nation, and we do support him. And again, please go to Justice for Billy TK and Vinny Eastwood, change.org, justice-for-billy-tk-and-vinny-eastwood. So there's just hyphens in between them. Justice for Billy TK and Vinny Eastwood. I will put the link to that change.org in the description of today's program.